Welcome to Chumba Casino, America's number one online social casino. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Explore hundreds of social games, including top-tier slots, jackpot games, and table classics with new games launching regularly. At home, on your lunch break, or relaxing on the couch, world-class entertainment is just a tap away. Score free daily login bonuses and kick things off with a free welcome bonus. Sign up today and discover why over 1 million players choose Chumba Casino to play for nonstop fun. Your next fun moment starts now at Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Post Game Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Smith. Well, it's the first edition of the Post Game Podcast for the season, and boy, is it going to be a fun one to recap what we just witnessed out here in Charlottesville. NC State with a 34-8 loss to Virginia on the road. The only positive, a Will Wilson rushing touchdown to cap things off on you know, one successful drive for NC State. Outside of that, it was just an absolute shellacking in every sense of the word for NC State by UVA in this one. Michael, just your initial thoughts on this one before we really jump into things, man.
Well, I mean, my day after takeaways now, this is a low point in the 14 years of Dave Doran's tenure. I don't know, man. It's hard to really process what we just saw because there was really nothing positive that was done for four quarters. I mean, I saw in the message where people were arguing that the offense put the defense in a bad spot. Yeah, they did. But, like, it, to me, you watch drive after drive. It didn't matter where Virginia got the ball. They were so much more physically superior in the trenches. Mm-hmm. Like, they were going to move up and down the field, whether they were at the one or – it didn't matter. Did not matter. I mean, when you only have to attempt 11 passes – in a power four football game and you win by what, four scores or how much ever it was, it just shows you the complete physical mismatch. And it was kind of what we talked about all season, the question marks we had, and it was times 10 today.
Yeah. And I mean, the big thing for NC State coming out of this one was you wanted to, first of all, be competitive, have something to come away and say, all right, these are the areas we need to fix, but you know, we have some things to get figured out. You have to figure out everything after this one. You have to figure out how to stop the run. NC State couldn't figure out a way to do that. Multiple blown coverage in this game. They threw 11 times, and of those 11, of the nine completions that Bo Prabula had in this game today, two of them were for 40-plus yard touchdowns on broken coverages by NC State. So, like, as much as this is going to be put on C.J. Bailey, and obviously
– He was not good. He was really terrible. One of the worst games of his career.
But at the same time, you had zero run game throughout. The defense had multiple breakdowns in this game as well to keep it where, you know, look, NC State was not able to mount any sort of comeback in this game. Not that the offense showed you any will to be able to do that. And then after you score the one touchdown, which we'll talk about here in just a second, UVA goes out there and just breaks the will of NC State with a 23-play, 12-minute and 15-second drive, the longest in UVA history in both plays and time of play in that one drive. And that's ultimately what, you know, if NC State was going to mount any sort of comeback, that was going to be when it was going to happen. And that UVA just said, no, absolutely not. We're just going to run it down your throat and take the will, any sort of will you have left in you. So let's just, you know, I'm going to tell people, as always, you know, do make sure that you check out Pack Power 247. Like, subscribe, make sure that you jump on there. Hit get notifications on YouTube. And then, you know, jump on with us each and every single time we do one of these, because we're not going to sugarcoat things. We're going to tell you exactly like it is on these post-game podcasts. So do make sure that you check us out. And then, you know, become a subscriber as well, Pack Power 247. It's still 75% off if you want to jump in and follow along. Maybe there'll be some, you know, eventful things throughout the rest of the season. We'll see. But Michael, let's jump straight into things and start recapping the offensive side of the football. We'll start with CJ Bailey because, you know, from the very start, it just did not look like a good game plan coming out of the gate. And whatever type of game plan CJ Bailey felt confident in beforehand, because he said afterwards, he said, "I felt like we had a great game plan. I'm not worried about how we're prepared for the game. It was amazing. At the end of the day, it came down to executing." I didn't say any semblance of a game plan from the very beginning. NC State trying to run the football, couldn't get that going. Multiple incompletions early on. And then CJ Bailey just trying to run the football. It didn't look like there was any separation for the receivers. But, you know, just your thoughts on CJ Bailey's performance and what we saw throughout this game.
Oh, he was bad, really bad. But yeah. I think the thing that I'm watching, you know, when you go back and you're thinking about this game now that it's over, is just felt like there was no adjustments to make. He was clearly struggling. Like, get him on the move some. Do some different things. Try to get him in some type of rhythm rather than get him to drop back. He clearly was not trusting what he was seeing. This is going to be an unpopular opinion, but you've got the receivers who, you know, you can blame a lot of this on CJ. That's fine. Nobody's getting separation. And, you know, I think that is a problem. Even the balls that he overthrew, I mean –
Can I throw this out there really quickly? I mean, a lot of these guys were the ones that he went out and handpicked.
Yeah.
Like, you asked JoJo Traynor to come in. You asked Chance Robinson to come in.
I go back to they never proved themselves where they were. So, you know, I mean, I know that's who he wanted, but you also have to go with what was the budget. And I know we're not going to bring up that right now, but again, to have a whole offseason to plan – I know you're thinking about an entire season, but you have an off season. You need to be buttoned up in the opener. You need to look like you're ready to play and have some semblance of just a plan. And I know he's saying that. I mean, he has to say that. Let's be honest. You have to say that as a quarterback, as a clear face of the program. But there was no flow. It was disjointed. It was choppy. You go down the list of lack of creativity. We could talk all day. Mm-hmm. But again, the most troubling thing for me outside of being physically physically dominated in the trenches, pushed around, is just the inability to make in-game adjustments. Like CJ Bailey, for his faults, there is a lot of talent. He is a talented guy. Let's try to figure something different out, because what you're doing is not working. I mean, I didn't understand. There were some design runs. And then, you know, you get to the second half, I don't know, of course, 24-0, and you're handing the ball off up the middle. To me, that just screams quit and surrender. Yeah. Like, that's not on CJ. That's not on the team. Like, that's just not good.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a couple of these up here because we had some good comments. Jonathan Gatlin said, honestly, this might have been one of the worst games of Dave Doran's career.
No question. Yeah.
I agree. I can't take it off now. Hold on 1 second. There we go. And I agree there. You know, again, this was on a national stage. This was on a standalone game on ESPN. This was right after the Dublin game. We won't talk about that result. But, you know, at the same time, for NC State, this was your chance to make a statement. And the statement that you made was you just completely crapped the bed on national TV. And that's the absolute worst case scenario. Kelly said 14 years, no progression of play calling, no national TVs. Step up for a big win. Look slow. CJ doesn't show up again. Miami, Pitt, now UVA. Didn't see the leadership by anyone in this game. And then Justin said, why are we playing walk-on wide receivers for half of the game? Talking about Ashton Locklear.
Back to my point of nobody getting open.
Yeah,
there's clearly some issues in that room as far as, like, you don't have what you need right now.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to throw this one up there too, because I wanted to bring this up. Nick said he missed open guys too. Talking about CJ Bailey, he said he missed Keenan wide open twice. Just terrible throws. The thing I want to add to that too, like, this is now, you know, multiple road games for him where he's had, you know, multiple turnovers. Other times it's been interceptions. This time, one interception, one fumble. And it was, I believe, his first time that he's fumbled the football or had a turnover, easy for me to say, in the red zone in his entire career. And that's exactly what he did in this game. But, you know, when you look back at it, like I broke some of the throws down earlier when I did my post-game takeaways, I want to make sure I pull this up to get, you know, kind of a breakdown of like what it actually looked like. Final stats, 12 of 23, 84 passing yards with one interception, had 33 yards on the ground on 10 attempts and one fumble. And then six of his completions were on, or his incompletions were on tip passes, two at the line of scrimmage. Somehow or another, for a guy 6 foot six, two tip passes at the line of scrimmage and three passes short of his receivers, and multiple were overthrown. So, you know, as much as we're talking about, you know, the receivers not getting separation and maybe that, you know, limiting him for, you know, trusting them on throws down the field, when he was making those throws, they weren't remotely accurate. They were underthrown, some overthrown. You had guys, you know, backpedaling, trying to get to the ball. It wasn't a CJ Bailey game. And for whatever reason, this continues to happen on the road. I don't know. It's not necessarily always the atmosphere. It's just for whatever reason, when he's away from Carter-Finley Stadium, these issues continue to come up.
Yeah. I mean, it just, he looked, and I put this in my takeaways, just looked overwhelmed. You know, whether he wasn't seeing the field or whatever it was, it's just really hard to put a finger on, you know, all the inconsistencies we saw today. And, you know, I look and it's only one game and we talk about that, but you have to be honest after a performance this bad, like how do you rebound from this? I mean, fortunately play an FCS opponent, mm-hmm. Next game. Maybe that's probably, and you get a little bit of time before that. So again, I don't know. It's kind of the head scratcher would not be the word. There's just so many, many things that I and even no matter what you say, it just doesn't feel like you can emphasize the disappointment here. Just the performance, not just from CJ, obviously he was really bad. The offensive line, the defense, good gracious, the front, the linebackers and defensive line. It was so bad at the end. You've got true freshmen in there playing that nobody thought you would see today. No one.
I actually thought the pass protection was decent for the most part for NC State along the offensive line. It was the run, actually being able to block for the run, being able to allow Duke Scott or CJ Bailey really to get any open looks running the football. And as much, again, you know, CJ Bailey was not good as a passer. The passing game never got going, but like you were forced to be one dimensional. Neither one of the dimensions worked, but I mean, I'm looking at it now. Like, I mean, Will Wilson ended up on six attempts for 21 yards. Duke Scott, seven attempts for 20 yards. Like, that was your one running back that you really put in there. DeAndre Desenor ended up playing. It didn't put anything on Bullet Goss in this game. He didn't get a single carry in this game. Not that I think that would have changed things.
Really, but missed a block on that tip pass. He just whiffed completely. And that was
his bread and butter. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He whiffed. And I will say this about Bailey. Like, he was telegraphed. I mean, I kept rewinding it and watching it. I mean, he was locked in to a receiver from the start on several plays today. The tip pass is one. I mean, you go down the list of him just looking at one person. Does that mean to me, that's an underlying, I don't trust some of my receivers. Like, not only is he playing poorly, but I think there's a lot more to this at that point when you're having to focus on one guy and almost force it to whoever, like JoJo Trader or whatever you're doing. That's probably the most troubling thing again, because again, he's a third year starter and telegraphing passes and just completely locking in on guys. I mean, that's quarterback 101 that you can't do, and you certainly can't do it at the Power 4 level on the road.
Yeah, a couple questions here. Somebody said, what position group – Jonathan said, what position group played well? I mean, if I had to pick one position group that I actually thought –
The punter?
Special teams I thought was good, other than the whatever the hell happened between Victor Snow and the blocker in front of him. But everything else on special teams I thought was actually pretty decent throughout the day. The only other one I would say as far as, on the offensive side of the football, I thought the tight ends looked pretty good. I mean, I'm sure when I look back on it, the blocking
is going to be a problem for that group. Yeah. I can go ahead and tell you that's where you're really going to –
out of the 15 receptions on the entire day, they had five of them. So, Preston Douglas, Vander Plug, and I thought Vander Plug had some decent looking plays. He had the 121 yard reception. Again, it was when the game didn't matter anymore, but still, those things count. I mean, it's, you know, that's the only positive I could potentially draw from this, outside of the fact that, thank God this game wasn't played in Brazil. That's the only positive I can think of, is like, man, I'm glad I didn't have to fly to, you know, go all the way to Brazil, figure out all this different stuff and try to avoid whatever the hell is actually happening out there in Brazil to you know, instead be in Charlottesville and only have to, you know, drive a quick 3 hours back home instead. But yeah, and that, you know, that would be that, going on the defensive side of the football. I was going to say, yes, I agree with this. Droop said, you know, Popo played well, actually ended up finishing with 18 tackles in this game, which only three other players in NC State history have ever done. I believe the others were Steven Tulloch and then Peyton Wilson, and there was one other, and I cannot remember who it was. So, you know, good game for him, but
really struggled in pass in coverage.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah.
And only four of his tackles. This is not because he was the best player on defense by a mile, but only four tackles were solos. So, you know, that's you have to point out factual information again. It's just the first two levels of the defense, even with his performance, I have so many questions. I mean, like, is he an every down linebacker? Because he looked lost in coverage multiple times. I don't know. I mean, but I don't know where you go. You don't really have anywhere to turn at this point. I mean, A.J. Richardson, man, it was bad. Harvey Dyson, it was really bad.
It felt like they were running right at him.
And that's you're going to see that the rest of the year. And to me, I don't know how you can fix that. That's a physical, like, I'm willing to stick my nose in there and make a play. I mean, they were not providing any resistance at all. The defensive line was completely overwhelmed. I know they weren't in great situations some part of the day, and that Virginia dominated the time of possession. But a big reason they dominated the time of possession, because they couldn't get them off the feet. I mean, you couldn't. Yeah. They just kept
stop them in the run game.
They ran the ball 57 times for almost 260 yards. I mean, that's completely we're imposing our will. We do not think you have a chance to stop us. I mean, a quarterback throwing only attempting 11 passes and winning by this big of a margin is pretty staggering in itself.
And again, two of those passes were over 40 yards. So
yeah, so it, like, really was not, I mean.
It was knowing that you were going to get a breakdown and saying, all right, we're going to drop back on this. If we get the breakdown, then we're going to throw it. If not, then Prabula, you roll out and go get us another 9 yards, because that's about what he averaged on the day. I mean, it was evident from the very beginning of the game that Bo Prabula was going to try to win the game with his legs, and that's exactly what he did. I mean, this is the first time that UVA has had a quarterback rush for over 100 yards in a single game since Brennan Armstrong did it back in 2022. That was their bread and butter that season. They play to your team's strengths, and they play to what your quarterback is able to do in the offense, and that's what he's able to do. And that's what, you know, UVA did all day today. First carry out of the gate, he runs it, and he didn't even drop back. Just gets the ball. They set up for a blocking scheme, and he runs right through it 11 yards. They got three, you know, basically a three and out after that. But then the very next drive, he runs the ball over and over and over again. I mean, 15 carries for him for 110 yards. That allowed for Ja'Kal Middlebrook to go for 15 attempts for 64 yards. And then, you know, the rest was history. Again, like you said, 57 attempts, 258 yards on the ground, two touchdowns for this rushing attack. And you know, I'm interested to see how many missed tackles that they get credited with, because my biggest key in this game was to stay disciplined, to stop Bo Prabula from running the football, and to stay disciplined and not allow, because again, the only way to beat him, the only way to get him off balance, is to get to the quarterback, to limit what he's able to do with his legs. And he tends to throw interceptions at that point. He tends to overthrow receivers. And as long as you have a safety sitting back there to be able to intercept the ball, that's how you beat him. NC State did not force UVA into any of its weaknesses in this game. And I think that was the biggest shocker to me was, you know, maybe it shouldn't be listed as a shocker, I don't know, but like, That to me was the biggest surprise, that NC State just didn't force them into anything to get them off balance like UVA did to CJ Bailey all afternoon.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we're going to go back and watch this. And you could watch it live and notice that there were players out of position constantly. But again, even when they were in position per se, they were completely bullied. I mean, like, just the thing you can say about this game is this is arguably the best offensive line State will see all year. I mean, could be. I mean, I think it could be. And I think Virginia is going to be really good. Like, I think that they're going, as long as that kid can manage games, they're going to win a lot of games. They have a lot of players. They're good on defense, really good up front.
They can keep them healthy running like
on
that.
On both sides of the ball. Yeah. And that, to me, is the biggest takeaway, just how physically overmatched. It reminded me of Miami last year, maybe not quite to that extent, but State, I mean, they just pushed them around up front. I mean, I kept rewinding it to make sure I wasn't missing things live. I mean, when you go back and watch this and you see guys getting driven downfield, and not even that as much as how easily they were able to kick guys out or block down with no resistance, inability to fight off blocks. I mean, it was just crazy. Like, even when it was not full on, we're going to blow you off the ball, whether it was a kick out, a down block, I mean, there was no resistance, I mean, for much of the day.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
Yeah, I'll add this. Jonathan said on the defensive side, I don't see a game changer. I mean, I think, you know, potentially Popo Aguirre could be that for you. But again, if you're having to drop him back into coverage like they did today against a running back, and he tries to hand it off to a safety that's drifting to the other side of the field, that's not going to work. And then, you know, this one was, I wanted to kind of bring this up too. 919 Wolfpack said, we had all offseason to prepare for a one-dimensional bow, knew that was coming, and barely stacked the box or had a QB spy all game long. And yeah, that, again,
no adjustments.
That's why, I mean, it, you know, number one, like, that's on DJ Elliott for not scheming that up, not having, I mean, DJ Elliott or Dave Doran, whoever you want to put the blame on, for not, somebody not being the bigger man there and stepping in and saying, all right, we've got to have a spy on him. We've got to have somebody that's willing to be that guy throughout the game. And then, you know, that brings me to this one too. Droop said, can we have an honest conversation about DJ Elliott here? Because, you know, this was, this was the defense. You know, this was the way he wanted to scheme the defense. He said multiple times, we went out there and got the guys that we wanted. And for this to be the first performance out of the gate, you know, look, this isn't the full season. There's 11 more games left. There won't be another one that will actually talk about the defense for real until 3 weeks from now. And I think that's going to be the toughest part is, you know, now we've got to sit on this for 3 weeks because Richmond's going to be Richmond. But the game after is the first one that's meaningful after this game. And I just, you know, like, it's just not cutting it. Like, it's not, clearly the scheme wasn't good from the beginning. And then, like you said, didn't make any adjustments, didn't, you know, come out the gate and do anything different. You saw, I mean, UVA comes out in the second half. The first play of the freaking second half is a flea flicker that goes for 20 yards. And then they, again, that running back wheel route that we keep talking about that burned Popo Aguirre, that was the third play of the second half. And NC State makes zero adjustments off of that. Like, that's – it just, again
– well, I think
– UVA just never took its foot off the gas, and NC State just seemed to not be able to find the gas pedal at all.
Yeah, not to cut you off, but I'm sitting there, you're watching, and you can't play, you can't defend the run. That was obvious. But then when they do pass, not only are you beaten, I mean, you are not even in the vicinity
remotely
at the time. And that is just, that's inexcusable. Like, the amount of times in this game players were out of position, like, that's confusion. That means guys don't know what they're doing. Like, how does that happen with this much time to prepare? Like, there was so much confusion on the field. I mean, like, play Jackson Vic gets beat on. I mean, you can say what you want about Popo not being able to cover the running back, but where's anybody to help him? There's nobody there. And the amount of confusion that you saw on defense, you know, I would argue that that was similar on offense, although probably it wasn't as visible. CJ Bailey clearly did not trust what he was seeing. I don't know if they did stuff he didn't see last year or he didn't expect, or I have no clue how, but I mean, you have to credit Virginia had state guessing on both sides of the ball all day long. And, you know, they got the matchups in their favor. That is a tribute to coaching. And, you know, I just, to be unable to put up any more of a fight than this, I mean, it's just pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, sorry, I'm going to try to shift over here a little bit because I'm running out of light. This was up against the lights over here. But, and again, going back to what you said, I mean, as much as we talked about it this offseason too, the other issue was NC State trying to work all offseason to upgrade the pass rush, trying to work all offseason to, you know, to be able to get to the quarterback. And again, look, like you mentioned, this is probably the best offensive line they're going to face all season. You had a dual threat quarterback who was running all over you, but NC State was, I mean, even on the dropbacks, like, and that he got plenty of time to not only, you know, dissect the play, but then be able to roll out. And that's on NC State's pass rush yet again. I mean, you know, look,
no, there was no pass rush.
Like, clearly there was a reason. Yes, he only passed the football 11 times, but there was a lot of early plays where he's dropping back and he's seeing none of his guys are open. And that's when he's rolling out. So as much as, you know, that pass
break. Again, get him on the move. Do something different.
Jackson Vic, right. Yeah, the breakdown by Jackson Vic was rough. But, like, it, you know, the defensive secondary for most of the game was actually pretty good in this one. And then you didn't get any pass rush. You didn't get him off balance. You didn't get him, you know, at least touched other than the one stunt that they run and Harvey Dyson gets to him in the backfield. That's great. But, like, if we're going to say, you know, Harvey Dyson, pass rush specialist, you know, there's got to be something else there. And for them to continuously run to him because he couldn't stop anything, and then A.J. Richardson getting juked out of his shoes twice in this game, like, those things have got to be fixed. And it just doesn't – I don't know that that's going to be, like, easily fixable because those were things we kind of knew going into the season that he's not going to be able to stop the run. So if he's not able to, you know, pass rush at all and – I don't know. I don't know where I'm going.
The athleticism, in my opinion, is clearly limited. Like, it was, they looked stiff, non-aggressive, slow. I mean, you can't really sugarcoat it. I mean, they were just completely overwhelmed. I've used that word about 10 times already, but like a deer in headlights. I mean, you know, Harvey Dyson, you're a fifth year player. AJ Richardson, you've been here for what, been in college for what, 5 years? Like, you're not even, I mean, the lack of physicality, the inability to just shed a block at all or to just take on the blocker, like not just get completely kicked out or completely put on the turf. I mean, you've got to have some hard conversations at those positions because it was so glaring that if you don't think that people are going to line up and run right at them going forward, you're going to be sadly mistaken. You don't say hit the panic button, but I don't see any way defensively where State doesn't at some point start playing young players more. I mean, you've got players on this defense. Is this an overreaction? Maybe, but I doubt it, that are maxed out physically and are only going to be so good. And that's just the truth. You can't sit here and deny it. You watched it all night. When a team is one-dimensionally as Virginia was, and you have no answer. It's one thing in the passing game, when they are just imposing their will on you. Mm-hmm. That is a major, major issue. Like, if they threw for 400 yards, and I'm like, well, man, I get it. But that would fall on the lack of pass rush on top of the linebackers, defensive ends, whatever, and the secondary. But, man, when you are just bullied like this, it is incredibly disheartening.
Yeah, I was going to throw this up here too because this was a – I mean, this I brought it up earlier, but the 23-play, 12-minute TD drive, and 919 Wolfpack said it was fill-in-the-blank, and I mean, I'm just going to say the cherry on top for UVA. Like, because honestly, it was just a, you know, it was a masterclass by UVA all game long. And I think they converted, what, 3 fourth downs on that drive too? So they were just like, look, you're just not going to stop us. I mean, one of them was a tush push. The other one was just a straight QB run. And NC State just had no answer. And I think that's going to be like when they get to the film room tomorrow and they have to sit down and watch this game back and then immediately burn the film and then get back to work. I think that's going to be the focal point. It's just like, what in the hell do we do to start limiting teams running the football? Because obviously nothing worked in this game. And it wasn't just Bo Prabula. I mean, when they handed the football off, they were able to get, you know, again, he had 110 of the 260-something yards in this game. But, like, it was an absolute inability to be able to tackle across the middle of the field. And, again, they were just running at NC State's weaknesses over and over again.
Yeah, I'm not going to play devil's advocate per se here, but, like, if you think about what they were doing offensively, with the lack of pass rush, Corey, I'm not convinced they couldn't have gone out and thrown for three, whatever, like thrown for a bunch of yards, because they didn't have to. Like, I'm not saying Bo Prabula is this super quarterback. No pass rush last year. There was zero pass rush today. Like, you can't ask your defensive backs to cover guys for as long as they're going to have to cover. It's just not physically possible. So I would say that if Virginia did want to throw, I think it would have been a major problem too, because the lack of pass rush is glaring. It's been glaring. I mean, is it going to get better? Who knows? But you can't – the thing with a guy like Harvey Dyson, if he can't hold up against the run like that, how much can you play him? I mean, on third down, I mean, like, in A.J. Richardson, like, he was out of position, slow.
Yeah.
I hate to call out guys single-handed because it was a collective failure.
Yeah. You started to say something else. The one thing I was going to say to add on to that, too, is, you know, how do you put him out there? Will you mask it with other guys that can stop the run? But after watching today, who do you put out there to mask
it's gonna
that?
Stop like, the run. Yeah.
You can't. Like, you don't, I mean, it doesn't look like you have anybody, at least not right now. The other thing I'll add to that, too, I mean, you know, B. Wayne said nothing more demoralizing than knowing they're going to run the ball and still can't stop it, completely unprepared on both sides of the football. Yeah, it's the truth. And the other thing I'll add to that was, you know, we talked about it before. Like, the offensive struggles certainly didn't help there. I mean, as bad as the defense was in some spots, the offense, I wrote it down earlier. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 of your 12 drives that you had in this game resulted in either a 3 and out or a turnover on downs. Like, that's not good enough. That's not nearly good enough. And it's going to end up leading to your defense, especially if they're struggling to stop the run. Guess what they need? They need you to put together some sort of a long drive, be able to establish the run, be able to allow them to sit on the sidelines, get a breath, and then also kind of look at things and be able to use the technology that you have to figure out what the hell are we doing wrong here and make some adjustments. And it's next to impossible to be able to do that when you don't have any time on the sidelines whatsoever. So I'm not saying, you know, the reason why the defense was bad was because of the offense being bad, but it certainly didn't help the situation. And both things can be right at the same time.
Yeah, and I think the tough thing to say at this point is, you know, if these teams play 10 times, Virginia probably wins 10 times. They're that more physical. Just, I mean, they are. You know, I think we talked about it. I wrote this. I thought the D-line was going to face an uphill battle. They did, but, you know, both Popo and Richardson, LaCorian Hodge, I mean, whoever you want to put out there, Kayvon Carter.
Maybe I'm telling you,
when their offensive lineman got hands on those guys, it was over. I mean, they had no answer. They were just almost like swallowed up. I mean, it, and it – again, it wasn't – like a devastating block over and over again, like a clear on de-cleating somebody.
He's consistent.
It was consistently pushing them wherever they wanted to push them, whether it was inside, whether it was outside, whether they just wanted to essentially shove them into a locker onto the turf. I mean, it was constant. And you talk about the offense, like when you have that many three and outs and you're that ineffective, that further emphasizes your inability to make adjustments. You made no adjustments. You can't argue that when you are that inept offensively, like you clearly made no adjustments. They knew what you were doing and they stuffed you all day. So, I mean, we can make excuses about Bailey, this, that, and the other, but man, you got to put your guys in positions to be successful. And I go back to what I said about Bailey, get him on the move some, man, do something different. He's clearly struggling. Your offensive line is probably, we are probably a little too bullish on that unit. Like, you know,
I think it can be good.
Maybe it's middle of the road in the ACC. Let's say it's, that's probably where it is.
And I will say this. I mean, Jackie told me over and over again, Jackie Franchulli for the UVA site, she told me over and over again, she's like, this defensive line is going to be really good. Like, I think line is going to be really good. And it actually, I mean, it clearly was. And again, I thought they were decent in pass pro, but it's just, you know, in run protection, it lacked a lot. It lacked a lot. And that's the thing, is you've got to be able to establish that a little bit. Yeah.
You got to do things to offset those. If you know there is a strength of a team, you've got to figure out a way to combat that by being able to attack their weaknesses, find their weak spots. Virginia is not going to be, I don't see Virginia being an elite defense by the end of the year. I don't see them, and I could be wrong, but there has to be some places you can attack that unit. And NC State, for some reason, just had, you know, no clue what to do. And you can't argue, like anybody, you can be the biggest homer or whatever you want to do, but you just can't put lipstick on a pig. So,
yeah, Jack Simpson here saying Michael was right about everything. So just wanted to throw that up there for you to give you a little confidence, give you a little.
Certainly don't hear that at home.
like, look, I didn't want to be right about everything. Okay. I didn't want to.
God bless you. God bless you.
And the other thing I was going to say, I like this from Nick. He said, I think my main concern was CJ Bailey, said that the prep was amazing and they felt prepared, but then Dave Doran said, we weren't ready. It makes no sense. Yeah. You know, look,
that's a disconnect there.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they thought the game plan was fine, but maybe they weren't ready to execute it. Like, I'm trying to.
What was the game plan? I'm not trying to be a jerk. What was the game? What was the objective?
That's what I said at the beginning.
Like, what were you? And I'm not trying to be funny. I just honestly would like to know what the plan was to attack the defense. Like, from the first play, the first drive, it was 0-0. I just had a weird feeling. I'm like, something doesn't look right. Like, they're not. This is not it. I mean, and it was just, you couldn't put your finger on it, but after about a quarter, you knew it was going to be a long, long day.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have to go back and look at it. I'm pretty sure the first down didn't come until the second quarter it was the second quarter for instance.
Very into the first quarter.
Either way, it wasn't good.
Well, we talked about this too. And I mentioned this before we got on, like, I think I said it earlier, you're down 24-0 and you're like running in, hand the ball off inside. Like,
yeah,
that is, you cannot operate like that. That is just not, you have to at least show some type of fight in your play calling. It had already gone off the rails. Your chance to win at that point was slim to none, especially with Virginia's ability to eat up clock. I mean, they control, they almost 40 minutes of possession time. Now, some of that was due to the offense, but some of that was also due because they were just running over you for four quarters.
Yeah, I mean, that was literally how NC State won games back during the Brennan Armstrong era when he was at NC State. Sure. It was late in the season. You're like, look, man, he's not very good at passing the football, so we're just going to run it. We're going to do everything we can to run the football. We're going to get the ball in Casey Concepcion's hands because he's the only guy that can make a play for us. And then we're going to put Brennan Armstrong just running like a bowling ball every single play. Those were literally your two leading rushers on the season. So you play to your strengths, and NC State just, again, I think came into this. The one thing I will say on this, is looking over at the, you know, for maybe in Kurt Roper's, you know, trying to help him a little bit here. I think the game plan coming into this was we can lean heavily on CJ Bailey as a passer, and we're going to be able to get the ball down the field that way and then be able to wear them down with the run. And you did absolutely none of that early on. You weren't able to establish anything. And then how do you rectify the game plan? How do you change that when the thing that you're struggling with the most is the only way that you can make a comeback? The only way you can make a comeback is being able to throw the football. And in NC State had an absolute inability to do that. Whether it was the game plan, whether it was the scheme, or just CJ Bailey in general, they weren't able to do any of it.
Yeah, and I think another thing worth noting is that college football is clearly a professional sport per se at this point. And this is not CJ Bailey's fault. When you have to pay a person a significant amount of your NIL budget, the playmakers that you lost, I mean, like when you pay a quarterback $50 million a year in the NFL, it's going to hinder your roster. And I'm just saying, like, those are the things that's just the facts. I mean, you lost some really good playmakers, Terrell Anderson, Hollywood Smothers especially. Yeah. Not saying you wouldn't have lost them anyway. I'm just saying when you pay your quarterback big money, you're going to see this in college football. He has to elevate everybody around him. Mm-hmm. Is it fair? No, it's not fair, but it's just where things are. I mean, again.
Yeah. I think it is fair for a third-year starting quarterback.
Yeah, State brought in 9 new receivers. Yeah. You had to, in the back of your mind, I think we're all like, all right, how is this going to work? And then, you know, no disrespect, Duke Scott, he's not Hollywood Smothers. Yeah, he's just not. And he is a solid player, a good player, more than capable of being a really good ACC running back. But you have to open holes for him. I hope he went to the tent. Did he come back? I don't think he did. He's all right. I don't know anything. But like I said, you've got to have some physicality up front to help him. And I think I said not to panic, but you do have to have a long conversation with everybody and just say, hey, do we need to start playing some of our younger guys? Even if they're not – ready-ish, like Richmond is a good spot to do that. Like you need to find some other guys, because I'm telling you right now, the talent level was not up to snuff tonight. It may allow you to win some games, but man, you've got to really think about putting some young guys in and seeing what you have against Richmond. I mean, you just have to, because you know deep down what you have with what you saw tonight.
Yeah. And I said this, I mean, you know, you talked about CJ Bailey, like I wrote a three things I know, three things I think. And one of the things I said, I think going into the season, again, we didn't know exactly what it was going to look like. But I said, I think the wide receiver unit has a high ceiling and a low floor because it can be very good. You brought in a bunch of guys that you're like, all right, man, they were extremely talented. You know, JoJo Trader was a former top 50 overall player. Davion Dozier was a 4-star recruit coming out of high school. And obviously Davion Dozier had success last year. Victor Snow, you know, 117 receptions, almost 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns in the last two seasons. The question mark going into it was that exact same unit had one of the lowest floors on the roster because Trader had just one game with more than 3 catches in his career at Miami over the course of 2 seasons. And I'm pretty sure that one came against NC State. Dozier had huge yards per reception last year, but just 2 receptions in the 2 seasons prior at the power 4 level because he was with Arkansas. And then Snow, a 5'8", 170-pound wide receiver that you have to be able to create for. You have to give him those opportunities. And, yes, he was able to make contested catches last year, but you're going against ACC-level competition. You've got to prove those things. And I don't think as much as CJ Bailey didn't prove anything tonight and obviously didn't live up to the expectations this afternoon, but I didn't think the wide receivers did anything to help him either.
And this is not – Snow looks more quick than fast, and that is – I mean, that's a good quality to have. But separation for a guy that size is going to be – yeah, I mean, but I just – I don't know. There are exceptions to every rule, and I hope that he improves. I think it is going to be hard to rely heavily – on a 5'8", 165 to 170-pound guy to be one of your main pass catchers. I think it will be. And, again, I may be proved wrong. I've certainly been wrong many times I just don't view that as a sustainable, consistent option week after week. But, I mean, what is – who knows what an option is in the passing game? If we're being honest at this point, you talk about this year's unit. Last year felt like a high floor, low ceiling group, in my opinion. So you had the exact opposite. Everybody was so in love with that receiver group last year, and I kept saying, you know, like, it's overrated. I told you outside Terrell Anderson, that was it. That was the only guy I would have tried to keep. This unit is obviously, you know, looks to be the opposite. You were rolling the dice because outside of Victor Snow, everybody you brought in, I mean, Dozier, Warren, they were like 400-yard receivers where they were. Those are solid numbers against much lesser competition. You have to bring that up. But then you roll the dice on some guys. And really, I mean, a lot was going to have to go right. And I'm not trying to overreact for one game. Something was going to have to – the switch was going to have to flip for some of these guys on this stage. And you're talking about guys at the receiver position, Corey, that are 4- and 5th-year guys. Trader's, what, 3rd year? But these are older players. So how much more juice is there? I mean, it's, you have to ask that question, which at some point, I know the younger guys are not ready probably to play yet, but you've got to start, even if they're not putting them in. Because I think we would agree, guys like Tyreek Copper, Amiri Acker, their ceilings are significantly higher than a lot of these guys. So you probably need to start slowly integrating them into the offense.
Well, Copper obviously was out for this game, but
Yeah, but when he's back, you're going to have to start, you know, those two.
Working them.
They're extremely talented. Like, you heard a lot about them. Sure, is this a major adjustment? But you might as well throw them into the fire at some point. I mean, I think you know the ceiling is limited on a lot of these guys who are in their 4th and 5th year in college.
Yeah, and I did want to put those up there. Brian said Desenor, talking about DeAndre Desenor, seemed to make some positive plays today. Yeah, he actually caught the 2-point conversion, showed that he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and then you have the one 7 yards.
Great speed. And I just feel like that's, you need more of that on the field. There just doesn't look right now like there is a lot of speed. And that's really worth noting. I did not see a lot of speed at the skill positions. And you have to just call it like you see it at this point.
Yeah. I'll throw this up there too. And I'm sure people don't want to hear it at this point, but I think it's G.H. Morgan said, when I watched the podcast regarding the NIL budget comparisons between ACC schools, I became very concerned. You get what you pay for these days. And look, it's the truth. And I think, you know, there's some people right now that are saying, well, I'd rather throw my money at a new head coach after seeing this performance. But again, there's 11 games left in the season. We'll see what the season unfolds before we make an assessment on the entire season as a whole. But this was about as embarrassing as you could possibly get. And, you know, I said in that podcast, I said I felt that NC State invested wisely. You went out there and got some high upside guys. And just about every single one of those guys that I talked about on that podcast, whether it was Harvey Dyson or, you know, it was JoJo Traynor or Davion Dozier, like, those guys just didn't live up to the expectations of what you were hoping for in this game. And that's a really bitter pill to swallow. And it's something that's got to change if NC State's going to be able to, you know, exceed any sort of expectations over these last 11 games of the season. Because as Sam said here, forget Richmond. How bad is it going to be versus Vandy? That's another road game. And we'll see if Vandy's actually any good over the next few weeks. But you know, they have been a team that's spent a lot of money and you know, invested in a quarterback.
You have your work cut out for you in the trenches. I'm telling you, I don't know what they have going on, but I'm guaranteeing it's not going to be easy unless you can start showing a little bit more up front. And again, out-schemed, making mistakes, being out of position, that's one thing, Corey. When you are so physically overwhelmed at the line of scrimmage, you can't – nobody who's watching this or is a – you can't argue that. I mean, you can go back and just not even – again, the times that guys were completely stood up, driven backwards. But just like I said, angle blocks, whatever you want to say. I mean, there was no resistance. Rarely was there resistance at all. And it just came back to bite NC State over and over again. Like I said, Virginia moved the ball at will. They weren't doing anything fancy. They were daring you to you know, stop them. I mean, that was it. And it just, NC State had no answer. And they had to be exhausted at the end, but that didn't matter. Even when they weren't, they weren't going to stop them. So,
yeah. And as you know, you were talking about suggestions, somebody was asking about suggestions earlier and for who could step up on the offense instead of some of these guys. And Nick brought up, you know, Jarrell Bolder, who actually was listed on the depth chart tonight behind Ashton Locklear, who was a walk-on receiver. And then Jonathan Paylor, who needs to get healthy, fully healthy, before he can get out there. Now, he wasn't listed on the injury report, but we've heard Dave Doran say, you know, that he is a guy that it's probably not going to be until week three or week four before we're going to see him truly be able to get out there and play. He did go through warmups tonight, saw him make a reception from CJ Bailey, and, you know, he's out there. But they also mentioned Tyree Copper, who was not able to play tonight, and then Vander Plug, who, again, you know, ended up with a couple good receptions this game, one that was, you know, a little bit deeper down the field. But, you know, those are areas for NC State that you got to explore now at this point.
Yeah, I think a big thing
that's one game. It's one
that's
game.
Probably not mentioned enough and that we need to mention before we get off this podcast is, from a blocking standpoint, you were exceptional at tight end last year. You were veteran. Yeah. You had one of the – I'm not seeing an answer there. Like, it's one thing to go catch a pass from CJ Bailey, but man, if you can't get more out of your tight ends from a blocking standpoint, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Like, you just can't rely on your offensive line. We saw the difference like Cody Hardy made, and they clearly don't have him on this roster. Mm-hmm. You have what you have. You've got to get more from a blocking standpoint out of the tight ends. You know, it's one thing to catch passes. But NC State, they need blocking tight ends, guys who can sustain blocks, finish blocks, however you want to word it, to be successful, to overcome the shortcomings they have on their roster.
Yeah, and, you know, Kelly brought up a good point. He said, I believe when backed into a corner, Dave usually has an edge to him. We've seen it post-UNC games, but he fails to get his players to play with that edge on a consistent basis. Play to the whistle and beyond. They played soft tonight, and that's the truth. I mean, as much as we want to talk about all offseason, you have a chance to rectify these situations, and that's Dave in these big games not being able to step up. It's CJ Bailey on the road not being able to step up, and both of those things came to a head tonight.
And it was a personnel mismatch. Like I said, yeah. It was not even – they weren't, unfortunately. You have to – is it tough to say that in the first game of the season? But I just don't know how anybody could argue that Virginia's personnel was significantly better than NC State's, like up here. And it maybe it's just a one-game thing. What makes me say that is the way that they won, the way that they just ran through NC State all night long on both sides of the ball. I mean, just had their way. Your offensive line could not get a push in the run game. The defensive line could not make any plays. There's no pass rush at all. And, you know, how do you fix that in, what, 12 days or whenever they play again? I don't know. I mean, you're going to play what you think is a lot lesser opponent. But, man, it's going to get hard. It's going to get really hard if you can't somewhat right the ship on these basic fundamental issues that they have.
Yeah, and this is a good point by Steve. I mean, he said, it's just one game. That's what I was trying to emphasize. Things can be changed.
Oh, yeah.
But he said, it's just one game, but it's been a long time since I felt this disappointed about a game. We were just outclassed.
The way they lost. That is the long and short of it.
And I'll say this, and this is no shot at UVA. Like, this is – but when you lose a game like this to Notre Dame, or you lose a game like this to Miami on the road – you know, you come away with it, and we talked about it last year. It's like, all right, well, they're spending a lot of money on those rosters, and those are name brands, and, you know, it's one of those things. But when it happens against UVA, and you can also say the exact same thing because they're spending a lot more money than you, they have better personnel than you, that's an eye-opener. That's a moment where you're like, look, man, you know, Virginia has invested.
There's no question about that. To keep their defensive line intact and have that type of – and I really think, man, is that the way going forward for teams to invest up front? And you just figure it – I'm not saying you don't invest in the quarterback. If you've got a guy that's a first-round no-brainer, for sure, you obviously pay him. But you've got to figure out a way in your budget to shore up the lines of scrimmage. You see it over and over again. It stands the test of time. Is it sexy? Is it exciting? No. But Virginia was so far superior than to NC State on the offensive and defensive lines that you can't argue that. And again, that doesn't just happen. Virginia, this is a team that Tony Elliott won 11 total games in his first three seasons. They won 11 games last season alone. How does that happen? Mm-hmm. You're spending a lot of money up front. And that's it. I mean, again, you're going to see it week in, week out. The who's who, even the not who's who, the teams who are maybe surprising teams this year. Like, they're spending money up front, and it's just what it is.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing I will say, NC State did invest up front in the offensive line. You spent money to get Spike Soles back. You spent money to get Teague Anderson back. And I think those guys are going to be critical pieces. And Jamari McCrimmon left this game, and you ended up having to put Rico Jackson out there at left tackle. So that changes things a little bit. But, like, again, you're talking about UVA being able to retain one of the oldest, most experienced offensive lines, and it showed tenfold tonight.
They didn't lose anybody, though, to my knowledge. Yeah. Like, I think they brought in guys like Jacarius Pete. Looking back, that's tough. Looking back, like, you can make your argument. Was he limited? Did he play great last year? This was the type of game, his physicality and just overall athleticism, you would have felt better about having him out there. I'm just saying, what Virginia is spending up front opposed to what NC State, I don't know, but I would venture to say there is a significant gap there. And I think where it hurts you mostly, Corey, is you're forced to play younger players probably on the defensive line before you're ready. And this is something you're going to see throughout college football because depth is getting harder and harder to keep. Yeah. But if you can't afford, you've got to find a way to be able to have a defensive line rotation that if someone is playing poorly, you put somebody else in and let them stand on the sidelines. And right now, NC State doesn't really seem to have an answer. You're forced to kind of play who you have to. And you just hope. And hope right now in college football, that sounds terrible, is not what you're looking for.
Yeah, it's fleeting for NC State after what happened today. Mm-hmm. And I do want to throw this up here again. Pat said, Michael always brings the truth. And, you know, people sometimes don't want to hear it, especially in the preseason, because everybody's like, man, we need some positivity. I want to feel good about this.
When they're good, I'm going to tell you they're good. Yeah. But like, you can say what you want. I am wrong all the time. Ask my wife. Trust me. Yeah. You have to be honest. Our subscribers, they deserve that. NC State fans deserve that. And they might not always agree with our opinions, but we have to do our jobs. And the things we're saying now, they don't make us smarter than anybody else. They're just indisputable. Like, you can't sit here and tell me and try to say what we watched was something different than it was. And it's okay. But that is our job. And we're going to keep doing it. You can say what you want about us. We're going to be fair.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yep. And this comment here from Nick, I wanted to bring this up. He said, Popo said in his post game, they didn't expect much run from Bo Pavula. Like, where is the disconnect? And I
wouldn't have said that.
No, there's a lot of things that people probably shouldn't have said in post game, like CJ saying that he loved the game plan and they just didn't execute it. Well, yeah, sure. There's all right. So, but anyways, the thing I'll add to that is, I mean, we did a film room earlier in the week about all of the ways that Bo Pribula runs the football, and that being the big thing that he's known for. He's better with his legs, and then he can get guys, you know, if he's able to beat you with his legs, then they can find ways to get guys wide open on breakdowns late in the game. That's what they did today. That's literally
everybody knew what he was going to do. You can't say that. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's not a shot at him, but like, you knew the kid was going to run. You knew Virginia was going to lean into their run game. They have the oldest offensive line in the country. Of course they're going to run the football. Yep. Like, that's what they're going to do. And that means with a mobile, this is a guy that ran for almost 500 yards last year before sacks. And that's in the SEC, and he missed, what, 3 or 4 games. Clearly he can run. It's been a calling card of his for his entire career when he's been in the game. That's what he does. He's a great athlete.
Yep.
Passer, question mark. But I'm just saying, if they get anything out of him, if he's semi-consistent as a passer, they're going to be a really tough out. And don't be surprised if you see him in an ACC championship game.
Yep, exactly. I mean, again, I joked earlier in the week. I said, you know, this Virginia team, and it wasn't really a joke. It's the truth. But I said, you know, Virginia is what Indiana was last year without the Heisman winning and out without the number one overall pick at quarterback. And I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that Bo Pribula is going to be either one of those things.
He doesn't have to be great.
No, but he, if he, as long as he's manageable, as long as he's, you know, he manages the game and
makes
as long
good
as
decisions.
He's able to, yep. As long as he's able to beat you with the run when he's allowed to, I mean,
makes
when he's
his layups to, check down to yeah. your receiver, if it's hitting the running back, like they're going to be a tough out, man. And yeah. you have to acknowledge that. Like they're a if they're not a top 25 team, man, then this yeah. is going to be a heck of a year in college football. Again, what they do travels running the football and defense. Like they are good up front. They're downhill running team. They have a quarterback who can move. So even when they're not at their best, they're going to be a handful for people. They are yeah. deep up front on both the offensive and defensive lines. They're experienced on both. They've got, did the linebacker even play tonight? Cam
Robinson
he didn't even play. I just thought about that. Like he's an All-American candidate. They didn't even have him out there. Yeah, he didn't. But I was like sitting there thinking to myself,
here's the thing is the one way that you expose that weakness is being able to get to the second level and getting past a running back. NC State happen. Never got to the second level in the running game because they couldn't get past the line of scrimmage. I mean, it's just, again, the run blocking has to get better for NC State. But also, you know, and I'll be interested to watch back and see if there were any moments where, you know, Duke Scott really could have broken off a big run or something along those lines. But, like, I mean, and also, you know, when you're down 17-0 and that late in the game, and then you get down 24-0 after the first offensive drive for UVA, how do you run the football after that? I mean, they literally did on the first play right after that. But it's just you start having to game plan differently. You start having to try to figure out other things, and they try to make adjustments to throw the football more, and it just none of it worked. I mean, you mentioned, you know, Bo Pribula hitting his layups and just doing the easy things that you need to do. NC State missed every single layup tonight. Like, it just – you did absolutely nothing right in this game, and that's ultimately what led to a 34-8 loss.
You put so much pressure on the secondary when you can't rush the passer or stop the run. I'm not defending the secondary at all. I'm really not, because they were out of position too, and there was a lot of stuff going wrong. But you're just – you're unlikely, highly unlikely to succeed – when you play as poorly as they did in the first two levels of defense. Like it's the passing that the receivers are going to be open. Like it doesn't matter who really probably is playing in the secondary. You're just going to have a really hard time defending the pass. I mean, you got to think at the end, they're trying so hard. You would think to defend the run, they're emphasizing that for obvious reasons. It not saying pass defense gets overlooked, but you know, it was almost like, State, I'm not saying was not even expecting them to pass in those situations. Like they were almost shocked because the guys were so wide open, but you know they were daring them to throw the football. So
I'm sorry, I got to throw this comment up here. B. Sure. Wayne said everything we do is difficult, and yeah, that's what you talked about. We talked about it last year. Like when it why does it look this difficult? And it's because part of it is schematically things just aren't working, but. You know, again, you've got to hit your layups, and NC State tried, things weren't working early, and then you didn't change them up. You didn't actually or successfully change them up. UVA had an answer for everything for NC State tonight.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say is, like, it's one thing for them not to be able to run the football, but a bigger just as equally important is you've got to find some guys in the passing game who can make explosive plays. Like you have to find guys, and CJ's got to be obviously significantly better, but who do you turn to in this receiving core to make a play? I have no idea. I thought it would be JoJo Trader, and maybe it will be, but to me, CJ looked confused. Just like he doesn't know where to go with the ball. Some of that is maybe he's not seeing the defense. Some of that is, I think he's confused. Like, who do I go to? There's not that guy. There's just clearly not. And, you know, the guys you bought in were average players where they were. Some couldn't get on the field where they were. So a lot has to go right for you to hit on multiple guys when that happens. And I'm not saying this is one game, but I don't have the warm and fuzzies, man. Like, where do you go from here? Like, you didn't see anything tonight that made you think that there was a lot of upside with this group as much as we thought there was. And, you know, maybe we're wrong, and I hope we are. But I, again, there's just a, there seems to be some deeper rooted issues that probably we can't even put our fingers on with this team right now after a performance like this. So you really have to go back to the drawing board all the way together, because pretty much everything you did tonight didn't work.
Yeah, it's just truth of the matter. And part of that was on UVA just being consistently the better team in this one, having more talent in this one. And Joel popped in here, a UVA fan, said, "Go Hoos." Just want to give you guys a shout out. I mean, that was an absolute ass whooping.
They look like a top 20 team, probably. Yeah. I mean, and that's with a, you think, limited quarterback. But I mean, who said that kid doesn't get better as the year goes on? You think his confidence isn't going to be sky high going forward?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, he's battle tested. He played in the SEC last year and played pretty well at times before he got hurt. Yeah. I mean, he was a starter. I mean, this kid is not a scrub per se. I mean, would have been the starter at Penn State had Drew Aller not decided to come back for that final year, which he probably wished he didn't do that either, but that's another story. So this kid's not – I mean, he's got some tools. He just needs an opportunity, and he's got a great supporting cast around him. I mean, there's a lot to work with from the defense to the offense.
Exactly. Well, I think that'll just about wrap this thing up. NC State with a 34-8 loss in the season opener, week zero at UVA. Again, the one positive coming from this is the fact that it was not in Brazil. I'm just happy that I'm not in Rio de Janeiro having to figure out a way to get home.
And that it's over. That's positive. That it's over is also positive.
Yay. There's that. We now have 2 weeks before NC State will play against Richmond on a Friday night in the season opener, and then 3 weeks before they'll play the next meaningful game that any NC State fans are probably really going to care about or want to talk about in the Vanderbilt game. And then, as Steve said, thanks, guys. I appreciate each and every single one of you guys.
We do appreciate y'all during these tough times, man, because we're doing the best we can for y'all. But at the same time, is NC State, when you're covering NC State for NC State fans, we owe y'all our honest opinions, and y'all are owed. I mean, when you think you see something, and we need to tell y'all that. We can't sit here and say, well, there's just going to be this break. No. Yeah. Tonight was bad all the way around.
There's 11 games left. Everything's going
to
be fine.
No, you can't say something like that. Not when you lose. It's one thing to lose. Yeah. If they go to Virginia and they lose by a touchdown, okay, you're frustrated. You wish you would have won. But you were so physically outclassed. I just don't know how many answers you're going to find without trying to look other places. And if that means probably play some guys before they're ready, you've done it before. Yep. And I think you get to that point. You got to that point in the fourth quarter. I saw several guys out there. Elijah Satchel. Who else was out there? Oh, God, there was multiple.
Amari Abraham.
Yeah, he was out there. And then
Josh Warren actually made a pretty critical play. He wasn't even looking
at the I mean, Ziggy Moore was out there, I believe, at the end. And I mean, is that because the game's out of reach? Possibly. But that's a concerning thing. Like you got guys out there who are 18 years old playing in their first college game against a Power Four opponent who is physically imposing their will. I mean, that's a cry for, oh, we've got to, we're in trouble right now.
Yeah. I'm going to throw this up there from Sam right before we roll out here. He said, hopefully it can only get better from here. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Well, thanks. We will see. Yeah. We will see. You certainly hope so. Cause again, I mean, as much as
75% off before we leave, go ahead and mention that.
Yep, 75% off when you sign up right now. If you haven't already signed up, I think we probably got a lot of people on here that are already signed up. And I've talked to a lot of people, actually, that are on our boards throughout the last
few days. Keep doing it, guys. As we ask that, support us. It means more than you know. It allows us to do the jobs we love, even when times are tough like they are right now. Yep. We will work as hard as we can for you. Give us a shot.
Yes, sir. All right, well, thank you to everybody for jumping on, and thank you to Chris for helping out behind the scenes and throwing some comments up here to help me out. So we can get through this show. Michael, I appreciate you as always for jumping on. We will talk to you guys again soon.